CCTA wake-up call for April 22nd, 2023. CCTA wake-up call for April 22nd, 2023. Welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're glad that you've joined us, and this is Bob Griswold speaking, and I'm going to have the panel introduce themselves so we can enjoy the new experience of me trying to put this together.
Mary Griswold, Chairman CCTA.
Christy Frazier.
Patty Mason.
Paul Hill.
And welcome, everybody. So we're here. I think we're going to be talking something delicate around school board, and not necessarily the school board, but the school system.
Books.
And the books. Primarily the books.
Now, folks, I don't know whether you folks have gone and decided to check out the books that are in the school system, but they are hair-raising.
Mm-hmm. Very hair-raising. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you said that. I spent probably an hour and a half looking through H.J. McDonald Library, and you would not believe what I saw. The one thing that I'm going to describe of a single book is, I can't remember the name of it, but it's about bullying, and it really describes from head to toe how a young boy can go on social media and hide behind a different person and bully his peers. And that really was striking to me.
So it was a how-to manual.
It was a how-to manual and very disturbing. But, you know, Patty has been overseeing this project that actually Fairfield Harbor decided to pick up on. And maybe Patty can share more about what's going on.
Well, can I stop you just for a moment?
Okay.
I want to mention that the three people here, Christy, Patty, and
Paul,
are part of a citizens group that is working to improve our schools. We have some failing schools in Craven County.
Nine.
And they have been, how long have you guys been working on this?
About 2 years. And I'm just going to say, let's back up. This originated out of the Fairfield Harbor precinct, GOP mm-hmm. precinct. Alan Harrop, mm-hmm. our precinct lead, wanted, he was trying to get some traction on the schools. We have 25 schools in the district, nine of which are failing. So he's tried resolutions, he's tried everything. So he formed an oversight group out of the precinct. We have long since gone out of that. We are now countywide, and we have people join. You have to be able to have a thick skin to be part of our group because we're pretty real, and we'll talk through things, but we are a group, and we all come to a mind meld at the end as to what our position is going to be. And we were at our precinct meeting, and I want our precinct to accomplish a couple projects. And every school board meeting for the last few months, ever since the new school board, somebody's been there complaining about the books. And I'm tired of hearing people complain about the books. Let's do something about the books. So we've assembled a team, or we're assembling a team. Susan Mills from Vanceboro Precinct and Fairfield Harbor, Alan Harrop from Fairfield Harbor Precinct, we're working together. We're open to new members, people. To go through, because we got to go through the books in all 25 schools. And we're trying to identify the books. Now, the book could be inappropriate for the age group. It could be inappropriate subject material. Or it could be, I can't determine, I need to see the book. Mm-hmm. And I have an example of that, if you're interested. Mm. And so we're going to put that list together, and then we're going to send it to the school system. I have a commitment out of Wendy Miller, an email, that she'll review any books we ask.
Wendy Miller is the superintendent.
Yes.
She'll review it, and then we'll get an answer back, and we'll go from there. Now, the books that are pulled from the school library, we're only looking at the school library, we're going to advocate move to the public library. That way, tax dollar money is not wasted. Okay? Most of these books are the new books that were bought with COVID money, and we spent $2.4 million on these books. That's the other reason we're going to have them moved to the public library, because the public library can house them. You know, we're equal opportunity. You want your child to have that? Go to the public library. School library's core curriculum. we don't need to help them. The card catalog is online. So the first wave is just searching online, okay? We have no reason not to believe they're hiding books from online, but we'll figure that out as we go along. Let's just first do the card catalog online and do that. The strings we're looking for are initially that I've proffered are gender, sex, identity, equity, LGBT, queer, and transgender. And yes, we're getting hits. Okay? The other thing I found that's really big is they have, you know how parents are all about the gaming. There's a lot of books on how to become an expert at Minecraft, the gaming. And, you know, I don't think we need to have our kids do that. But anyway, so the goal is to identify what's there. An example of a book that we can't tell if it's appropriate or not is this book about a pig. And the pig decided it was a dog. And it's not bad, by the way. And the pig kept questioning his identity. And he kept insisting it was a dog. And he went and talked to everybody. Well, at the end of the book, the pig finally figured out he was more valuable as a pig, so he stayed a pig. Okay? So that one would be okay. It's appropriate. But there is a book about a dog who decided it was a cat, and the rest of the world's supposed to associate it as a cat. Okay, so...
yeah, it's comical, right?
And so, and what I'm also finding out is what's in our card catalog. I'll go out and do search on the books out in industry, and the descriptions don't always match. So, but we're just going to go with what's in the card catalog, because we can have multiple passes at this. Mm-hmm. And another objective that we're hoping comes out of it is we develop a criteria for books to order, books not to order. And we get that done so that there's going to be more books. And then there's eventually going to be something called the book refresh rate and all of that. And we can do that.
I'm curious, what was the superintendent's reaction?
She doesn't know about this project yet, but she's invited me to review the books.
Okay.
She has invited me, and I have it in email.
So from what I'm hearing, you have a superintendent who is listening to a group of concerned citizens, or at least willing to
correct.
Meet with them and is...
Correct. And she's agreed to get us a response. And to date, anytime we've had a response, she's been fairly responsive.
She's very responsive.
Yeah, we.
Now, I'm going to ask some questions because I am not, the first time I encountered your group or even some of your group was at a CCTA meeting a while back when you came and talked about education. That's when I met Christy and that's when I met Paul. And you're working outside the system. You're working as a group of concerned citizens.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Are there advantages to working outside of the system? And are there plans, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but are there plans for running for office for any of you?
And the answer is, are the advantages? Yes, because we're not encumbered. We're also fairly unstructured. Okay, as Patty indicated, we have Wednesday morning video conference of all the players. We have to do that because we're spread all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we go through an agenda. The agenda is a kind of a, you know, we just, it's a record-keeping kind of activity, old business, new business kind of thing. And we go through that, and we discuss them, and then we take a figure out what our position is, and then we apply that where it's appropriate. But we don't, we're not a big structured organization because we believe that cuts down the free-thinking part of what we do.
Okay. And we're not beholden to policy or rules or regulations. Our government is meant for the individual citizen to be overseeing the government.
That's
and
true.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
I seem to remember that back in 17.
Yeah, something like
that. You know, I'd want to add, folks, this is not the only group that needs to be there. All of you parents, all of you grandparents out there, form another group, join this group, do whatever else, but get involved in the education system of our children and grandchildren.
And that's important because the one thing we're seeing missing are parents. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty disturbing that we're not getting more parental involvement. And now we're not working. We're successfully retired. Mm-hmm. So we have all day to spend on this. But we need parents involved.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that parents need to realize, and everyone who lives in the community, you're retired and you've chosen to be involved. All retirees need to think about the role that education plays in the county, mm-hmm. because their house value is dependent on that. Nobody with children is going to come into a community with failing schools.
True.
One of the commissioners asked me, Patty, why are you involved? And I went, because there's going to be a day that I can't get involved. And I need these little darlings growing up to be successful citizens mm-hmm. to replace you, mm-hmm. to replace the school board. So the only way I'm going to get a successful citizen to replace you mm-hmm. is for them to be educated.
Now, you're talking about working on the books in the library, which is certainly something that needs to be worked on. What are some of your other priorities that you're working on?
Well, I think actually looking at the whole school board as an operation, you know, we indicated earlier that this group has been together about two years. The way I got involved was when I was talking to Alan, our county, our precinct chairman. As I was kind of re-engaging in the local environment, I ran as the vice chair on that board. I wanted to get involved in the school situation. And then so we kind of coalesced.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break and recognize our sponsors and our supporters. Lord, I ask all of you folks to just go to our sponsors, go to our supporters, and just say thank you for supporting the show and thank you for what we have here, the ability to help keep you informed.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back, and let's rejoin our conversation.
Paul, I was asking you about the priorities of the group. What are the things that, what are the changes that you see that you can be part of that would help our failing schools?
Wow, that's like saying define the universe and give three examples.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little tough.
500 words or less, yeah.
500 words or less.
You didn't give them that many.
Can you count, Patty, while I'm going? No, the problem with this, and I've been actually, the reason I was kind of headed in that direction is I actually started back about 12 or 15 years ago. We moved here 16 years ago to the local community in Fairfield Harbor. And within a couple of years, I started to attend the school board meetings, which I found very depressing. Okay. And I observed that, you know, I've seen grass grow faster, okay, and more productive.
And more interesting.
There are people who know how to run meetings, and there are people who don't know how to run meetings. And you can learn, but some people choose not to, I believe. So anyway, I did that for probably a year or two, and then business intervened, you know, how that goes. And then 2 years ago, we started re-engaging back in the activity. The one thing that we noticed is that nothing had really changed all that much in the sense that the group itself really doesn't, they're running a multi-million dollar operation. You would never believe that. Not that they have no idea how to run, you know, probably lemonade stand.
I don't think a single one of them really have ever. I have.
Yeah. Yeah. We
Patty has.
We've been experienced managers. Okay.
Okay.
And so we recognize what is and isn't.
As I said, we're successfully retired.
Yeah, we're successfully, right. And so as a result of that, we look at their whole operation and how they choose to run the school board itself in every way. So we're not, you know, as mm-hmm. we were discussing a few minutes before we went on the air yesterday, we were the big item on the table was beekeeping. Doesn't that sound like a thriller?
And it
failed.
It failed.
Yeah, I think I got everybody's attention because I was frustrated. And my frustration, okay, I used to chair meetings between the intelligence community and Department of Defense, okay? Those are the level meetings I held. And I'm sitting there going, beekeeping was a $1,500 item. We spent a good 20 to 25 minutes on it, $1,500. We talked about another item, which was $58 million, and we spent a whole 10 minutes on that. And I'm sitting there going, what's wrong with this picture here? Where's our return on investment?
And let's go back to books for a minute. We spent ESSER funds on how much did we spend on ESSER?
ESSER is COVID.
COVID money.
Yeah.
On brand new school books.
$2.4 million.
And how these books slipped in, we're trying to find out. Was it the publisher who slipped in?
Well, I don't know if we're trying to find out. I don't think we care how the books got there.
No.
We just want to identify them and get rid of them. I will say on the card catalog, my favorite description is provided by the publisher. And I've talked to a couple friends who have published, and the answer is the book wasn't selling, so the publisher gives it. So I don't know if we ordered it.
Is the key word give? I'm not sure.
Or discount.
I'm not sure how much a gift.
We get a discount. Yep. Yeah.
Well, this is the equivalent when you go into a bookstore and you see the 99-cent table.
Well, yeah.
Correct. I think that's what's going on. So, like, Anna on the Edge, which is at Albert Banger Elementary School, a 12-year-old figure skater, Anna, strives to win competitions while learning about gender identity. Anna's own and that of her new friend, and how to navigate the best way forward, provided by the publisher.
So, you see.
And the gender identity fits into ice skating because?
Well, my other one is Marvin Redpost. Is he a girl? after Casey Appleton tells him that if he kisses his elbow, he'll turn into a girl, 9-year-old Marvin experiments and finds himself very confused about his identity.
Because he can't kiss his elbow. Undoubtedly.
That's hard.
That's usually part, of a, reading, usually part of a joke, by the way.
I'm reading straight from the Carcal Arthur Edwards Elementary School. Planning the impossible. As 12-year-old River and some of her friends work on a handbook for 6th-grade parents, they have to deal with information from the candid Mrs. Furley's sex education lessons, as well as efforts of the class to flirt to break up several couples. 6th grade? Elementary school? Why is that book
sixth
in elementary
grade?
School?
Couples in class.
This book confusion has rotated in the school board for 3 months with complaints about the books.
Well, there's a couple of set of motivations built into this. One of the things, as Patty was going through talking about the books and this $2,400,000 pile of books coming in the door, as you can possibly imagine, those books have to go somewhere. Okay, well, hey, where do they go? Well, they go to where there's currently books.
Yeah.
And some of those trashy books, you know, Tom Sawyer, all that good stuff.
They wanted to get rid of the old books.
They got to make room.
Shakespeare, Tom Sawyer, those books are old.
They were old, so therefore...
They're gone.
I'm old, too, so that's...
I think we can identify with that.
A couple of the Bibles were taken out, and they were replaced. A lot of these were replaced with new purposes, reasons why they needed to be replaced. But we're struggling with this particular...
Let me finish the punchline.
Yeah.
And that is one of the presentations that we saw yesterday, which we reviewed in advance, is the Ezra funds, the COVID funds, come in 3 tranches. And we are now in the middle right now of the second tranche, soon to start into next year in the new tranche. And guess what we found? There's some more money in the Buy the Books Club, okay?
Wow.
And it's in a, we can't see because the way it was presented was about a $350,000 item buried within 2 or 3 other items.
So the other advantage of this project, as I said, when you asked, we're going to come up with a list of criteria of what to buy, what not to buy, okay? Because in math, you define what is and what isn't. You have to define that boundary pretty crisp, right? I'm an ex-math teacher. So, you know, we're going to do that. As I said, I'd like to see the books go to the public library. And then, I'm thinking about after the books are done, what do we do? Well, what I'd really like to see is parents, the PTOs or whatever.
Do we have them?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
okay. To start to get involved in the PTOs with the principal to do this for each school.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's your child that's in the school and... The schools need to be the focus, not the school board, but the schools. And that ought to be the focus of what is happening. And what better project for the parents to get involved in than to go through the libraries at the school? Because think about it. Your English teacher is giving assignments. Well, you're going to have to trot to the library to get those books, right? So... So that's starting to get you involved in some of the curriculum, too, because... You got to know what's in the library to give assignments. So this is a really good project to start doing it, and then to have the PTOs take it over would be absolutely, utterly fantastic. Now, some schools don't have PTOs. That's fine. As I said, the parents seem to be missing in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But this is the other advantage. We're looking for people, as I said, the first scope is going online, the card catalog's online, identify the books, definitely needs to go, age inappropriate, possibly needs to go. Well, then I'll try and get us entry into the schools to go look at the books, or the books come to us, I don't care how, we'll figure it out. And then we'll start to build up the relationship and then turn it over to the principal and the PTO.
And our focus really, too, is elementary and middle school. We'll get to the high school. We think that's just as important. But right now, the elementary and the middle schools are our key focus.
And the thing that I'm hearing that is interesting to me is it is my belief that the success of a student has an awful lot to do with parent involvement.
When I went to school to train as a secondary math education, there were three people responsible for the education of a student: the student, the parent, and the teacher. The teacher is the only one we hold accountable now.
That's true. And that's sad.
And the teacher has very, very little control of the student.
They really do. And there's high discipline issues in the, especially the middle schools. So their focus is derailed from those disciplinary issues. So it's hard for them to actually, you know, really focus in some cases, some of these classes.
But I think it's on how you do it. I specialized in middle school. Don't ask me why. I'm crazy. If you walk in and it's a job to teach math and you're not trying to be their friend or their pal, it kind of all works out. You know, the child has a good self-image because they're learning. You know, I don't need the SEL surveys. They got good self-image. They're learning. They're progressing. You know,
and the teacher has got a good control over her class or his class, can put up, you know, walls, you know, boundaries for the student to learn, I think. And a lot of these kids are carrying cell phones and just put on, it's silent mode.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't even care if it's on silent mode. And everybody's like, why? And I said, I'm a math teacher. That's their calculator.
That's right. You see,
that's a good point.
Yeah, and you know, in many cases, our kids are using their cell phone as calculator.
And as a teacher, I didn't sign up to be a cell phone cop, and I don't really care. I'm teaching. You fail the assignment, that's a consequence. Mm-hmm. Again, kids are very smart. They'll pick it out, and most kids want to do good. And if you're there before school, after school, lunch, whatever. Extra, you know, if you show, I used to do third generation welfare kid back in the late 70s, early 80s. Okay, it was a tough neighborhood. My kids liked me, I didn't have a problem. You just had to be smarter then,
and you don't have to be a social engineer, you need to be a teacher.
I think she developed a new concept, it's called cause effect.
It's right.
Can we patent that or something?
I think, yeah, I read about the dogs.
one of our daughters at one point was a middle school art teacher. And the thing that was interesting there, I draw stick figures. I mean, forget it. And what she did, she had the kids do a journal. She would write something on the board every day, and they had to talk about what it said, but they weren't graded on their art, but there were consequences to whether or not they did their work every day.
Sure.
And that works.
And our kids still have those consequences, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, folks, it's time to take another break. And again, we ask you to go and visit our sponsors and just tell them thank you.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
So we were just talking about consequences, and there are consequences in the school system. And I know that my son, I still have a high schooler, and he's graduating this year. But when something falls down underneath the radar, I'm contacted. As a parent, I'm contacted. And so what's the first line of defense? Going straight to my son and saying, I got a call today,
yeah,
and this is what I found out, and what are we going to do about it? So it really does take the parent to understand what the consequences are for the child and just follow up with the child and get them back on track.
And it takes working with the child. Like the one student I'm tutoring now, she was irritated at her math teacher because I will only do math, middle school math. I'm retired. I get to pick. And I said, I don't want to hear about Miss So-and-so's problem. I want to know, what are we going to do about this learning problem? And she would go back to the teacher. And I said, where in what I just said about what we are going to do about it, did I mention the teacher's name? And she's like, I said, I didn't mention the teacher at all. Okay, so we now have a program, and we are now working. And I pointed out at the beginning of each chapter, they have what her school has books. They have objectives for the chapter.
And we need to come back to that, by the way.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
And I said, that's what you have to learn. Okay? And we'll destruct it, and I'm teaching her how to read the book. And, you know, last quarter, she was straight A.
So, what were you going to say, Paul?
I always circle back to the same thing, which there was a pending question on the table, and we're trying to work our way through it. And the reason for that is it is a many splendors situation, and we can pick and choose which one. That clearly the discipline thing is a big issue. Okay, there's another little subtle issue. Like, we currently have 25 schools, okay? And we have kids that could fill up about 21 of them, maybe.
So facilities have been a topic for a very long time.
We, the taxpayers, are paying for 25 schools, and we have enough students to fill 20.
And here, I'm going to...
So we're paying for 5 schools more than we can fill, and we're complaining about not having enough money.
And teachers, by the way.
Wait a minute. If we were to go to the 20 schools that we can fill, would that impact the classroom size?
No.
No.
So we could go from 25 schools to 20 schools.
Well, let's calibrate this. What we just said is not something that we dreamed up. This capacity was determined by a consulting engineering company on a contract to the school board.
In 2019.
And they delivered a 450-page document.
And the school board ignored it?
Have you seen any schools close?
No.
And it was brought up that, oh, well, this is the first time anybody's heard about facilities. It's not. Hmm. Facilities have been a topic of discussion in our school board room for a couple
and
of
class,
years.
And classroom size
is set by state.
Is a yep. dumb topic. Yep. It's stupid.
It is okay? set by the state, but it is a dumb topic.
It's a stupid concept, okay? When I went to school, there were 30 to 35 kids, not the discipline issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have, Paul, you explain it better than I do. Special ed is not funded by the state. They depend on federal funds for special education.
These are kids with disabilities, that yeah. mm-hmm. usually mental kind of issues.
And yeah. the issue is they expect all children to be mainstreamed, which is not entirely possible. And so if I'm a teacher and I have 15 kids, and you give me 5 kids with an IEP, my workload did not go up by 5. It went up by 25.
Because they take that much, because the teacher has to prepare specialized lesson plans.
IEP. As defined, individual education plan.
Individual, yeah. right. Now, people will argue with me, people who are experts in IEPs, but look at my reporting criteria. Look at all the additional things I have to do if I'm given an IEP. A lot of work. Mm-hmm. So classroom size is a fictitious metric.
Well, you know, I want to add, I happen to be one of the worst students in one of the best schools in the country, Great Neck in New York.
That's how you got that way.
Okay. I was one of the worst students. But, you know, when you talk about individual education plan, there were some courses that I could have sat with 100 people. And it would have been fine. And there's others that I needed to get into a small class. Our school system did recognize that problem. Now, still, I was a horrible student. But you know, you've got to recognize that based on the curriculum, the varied curriculum, sometimes you need, as you're doing as a tutor, there needs to be one-on-one at some time. But, you know, you may get that person on the road. I happen to have failed 11th grade math. Now, why did I fail it? Because I couldn't get along with the teacher. I took it in summer school and got a straight A. I didn't have a problem with the class. I had a problem with the teacher.
Yeah, and the other problem I have with classroom size is if our children are going to go into the math and sciences, we're failing them with the small classroom size. Because when you walk into a university, your class is 200 to 500 kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay? You better know how to survive in a lecture hall of 500 students. So classroom size is not the right metric.
Well, also, as you pointed out, I went through high school with classes of 30 kids, and we didn't have the discipline problems that we had now. And also, the other thing, what he's referring to, and I don't want to get in too far into this, but every child has a different learning style.
Mm-hmm.
And back when he was in school, they didn't understand ADD. We've got 5 generations of it on that side of the family, so we're quite familiar with it.
Is this a friend of yours?
And, you know, they didn't understand that. And I'm not somebody, I believe now it's totally overdiagnosed and kids are drugged that shouldn't be. We learned very quickly in raising a child with it that the best solution was to send them out to run around the house a few times. Mm. But the class size is not a problem now versus then because of the discipline problems and the prevalence of IEPs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes an IEP is a really good idea, but if you start trying to mainstream them and put a whole bunch of IEPs in one class, that's not fair to the teacher.
We have IEPs for discipline problems.
See, that's one of the issues that we see, which is they're mixing two different things.
Mm-hmm.
One has to do with, in some cases, a mental capability, mm-hmm. or some other physical or
Dyslexia, something like
dyslexia
that.
Dyslexia is great.
Or you've got or you can't walk. You got spina bifida.
Yeah. Okay, and they're confusing that as a discipline, so they want to put the kids with the discipline and the kids with the.
But that does not work.
No. And then you also have there's a whole series of federal regulations that you get into, and there are no kid left behind, which is kind of like inventing reverse gravity or something. You can't get there from here.
Well, money has strings.
Yes, it.
Yeah, it does.
So anyway, the point, go back to the point, which is we have many different things that we look at, okay, and we kind of take them on sometime in parallel and sometime one after another. So curriculum is a big issue. The building situation is a big
workload.
One of the things that my background is, I just say in my last job I was the chief technology officer of a company, and I've been in the technology business all my adult life, and they have these Apple tablets that they mm-hmm. give out to every breathing child that comes in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think that's what they do. They give it to them. Mm-hmm. Say, here it is.
Here it is.
Figure it out.
You have to figure out how to turn it on. Well, yeah.
And on top of that, North Carolina is North Carolina is always. I've lived in North Carolina twice, and they've always looked at themselves. North Carolina looked at itself as a poor state. They're a poor state in the sense they always have it. It goes all the way back to the cotton industries and all the other stuff that a lot of manual labor, et cetera, et cetera. But North Carolina is actually pretty progressive state. We got good roads there, comparatively speaking, and we also have the most unbelievable fiber optic network, for example, that covers all the schools, every school in the state, every school building in the state, okay, every government building, state, county, whatever, and it allows us to communicate very well, and then. Back a few years ago, actually, probably about 40, a thing called the Research Triangle Institute was formed up in the Raleigh area, which brought in a whole series of companies into North Carolina, a lot of proprietary drug manufacturers. They brought in IBM, was the first big company that came in. That operation has cloned itself or migrated itself to a thing called NCED, and so we have access to the most unbelievable set of technical people that can solve just about anything you can imagine. The problem is they're dependent on the local school systems to deal with them, and if they have a problem, to refer the problem up in a way that they can understand it, and they'll work with them to get it fixed.
Now, I'm going to defend our school system.
Now, hang on a second.
let's go back to that in a minute.
Okay, yeah. Why don't we take a break? We'll take a quick break, okay? Sorry to cut you off, but we're going to take a quick break again. Thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
So back to the computer and the great network and everything, I'm going to defend our school system. Our school system had just bought the iPads. They were starting to roll out a system. COVID hit. There was not time to build the program and put it there. They rolled it out overnight, okay? Teachers, I do not know how they maintain their sanity. It was difficult. So our school system, while it's not good, Paul and I would be firing those people who brought the system up. They did a reasonable job given the unreasonable time constraints.
And we still have thousands of students that don't have internet access, right?
The 10% of the county does not have internet access at home.
At home.
They
at home.
Do have it at the public library.
Yeah.
For free. Mm-hmm.
And there are access points around the schools that they can get to.
Correct. Yeah. And many churches have stood up and said they will provide internet access out of their churches. Yeah.
Which back when they wanted you to stay home or whatever else, correct. Yes, that was a big difficulty.
By the way, let me do a little bit of a correction. That's called high-speed internet.
High-speed.
That does not mean no internet. You can't go anywhere. There's a telephone that doesn't have internet.
And there's a different
the days of people trying to slug through the modem world.
There's a difference in transmitting text information versus video.
High definition video
videos.
And all the other things.
Right. But you do have access to the internet. It may not be in your house, but every student has access to internet. You may have to go somewhere to get it. So I don't buy it. You've got to go to school, right?
And by the way, I suspicion if we had the detailed numbers, that actual number of roughly 10% is trickling down and down and down because they continue to move out the services further and further.
I'm going to give a high five to Simon the Mathematic at the school board meeting yesterday. Simon. Is a sophomore in high school, right, Patty?
Yes.
Please take this over.
He wants to be a nautical engineer.
Okay. I mean, really.
And they were talking about
the bees again.
The beekeeper program. And he was getting frustrated by the discussion. And He raised his hand. He was very polite. And he said, now, the probability of getting stung by a bee is such and such, and the probability of you dying is such and such. But he didn't just read it off a website. He applied it to the school system. So he was doing calculations. Mm-mm. Okay? And we went up to him afterwards, and he looked at three or four different sites. Mm. So he was compiling real-time information from three or four different sites, doing mathematical calculations. And I was like, give that math teacher a bonus here, people.
Well, I'm going to just say this.
By the way, it was about 1 in 57,000.
Okay.
But
the healthcare nurse, and she's fine, but she was not going to promote having bees in the school. Okay. What's the probability of a football player going down at a football game? Much higher.
Much higher than 1 in 57,000, I'll tell you that.
You know, and the statistics are through the roof of a cheerleader falling and
breaking an
ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Or how about a basketball player getting...
Slipping on the court.
On the court.
How about
driving to school?
Oh, yeah. The only case of somebody dying from a bee was driving to school.
But you know what? There was not one person on that school board that said something to that young man. Not one person. Not one person went up off the school board?
The chairman did.
Okay, the chairman did? Mm-hmm. All right, that's good to know, because I did not see the rest of them.
Thank Brett, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he really took charge of that meeting, but they ignored it, you know? And that's what I'm finding when I go to these meetings, is that whatever public input I have is listened to but ignored. They're ignoring everybody but speaking on their own behalf and not on the public's behalf.
What do we do with that?
Well, once again, we're back to the same thing. What do we whittle at as we go happily on the way? In the case of the school system, they have had a issue with the tablets because some of the kids are smart enough to get around some of the security. Okay, you say, well, so it's obviously the kids are smart and somehow the tablets are dumb. No, the tablets are misconfigured. Okay, and that has to do with, go back to NC Ed and working with the local board to make sure that they identify the students correctly in their profile. If you don't identify them in their profile correctly, if you identify everybody as a 12th grader, you get 12th grade data.
So Paul, when he said our group was a freewheeling group, that's our advantage in that not all the solutions are local solutions. Mm-hmm. That's a case in point where we can pull in some other minds to work on the computer security issue. We're starting to engage the legislators. Not everything is a local problem.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, we have no problem. Paul and I used to talk to the big government all the time, right?
We surely did.
We don't have a problem going back and saying, no. And so the key is, you know, everybody's like, ooh, I've got to do it. And they're only looking in their job jars to what can they affect. There's a whole universe out there.
Well, let me.
And we're not the only people that have been in this position.
You know, I've said this to many people, and they kind of give me a little bit of a strange. You know, we're kind of an interesting situation in Craven County, and that is that we got shuffled here recently with the redistricting and that kind of thing. But the legislators that we've had in the past don't seem to care. They still love us. They still work with us.
Yes.
And so there was a discussion here a few minutes ago with Keith Kidwell, who was our state rep. Oh, terrific legislator. Mm-hmm. We were replaced by Steve Tyson, he's now one of the whips in the House, which is third highest in the operation. And then we also have John Bell. John Bell was our partial rep for a while.
The western part of the state.
We found that we could deal with him without any problem at all,
right,
because he still loves us.
And, okay. Norm Sanderson.
On the center side, we got Norm Sanderson, who still believes he's, you know.
And the other thing that we do that's unique is we bring people from out of the county to talk to us on certain meeting situations. We want to know what's going on in a different county that they might be able to bring to our table and help us understand.
Well, we've been interviewing the possibility that we're going to run into something in the Craven County School District that is truly unique and has never happened before. Anybody, we need to get Simon or whatever, quote us some statistics on that one. Okay.
For example, you asked about how we knew that there weren't enough students to fill all the school. We looked at the census, right? There's a census every so often. We looked at that data. We looked at the IRS data, and we discovered 30% of the eligible students are now not going to the public school system. It used to be 20%.
Yeah.
Now it's 30%. So we can look at the disparate data sets.
COVID changed a lot of things. And one of the things that COVID did was wake up parents to what their kids were learning or not learning in school. And it was, I think it was a shock for many of us. I talked to, this was a while back, but I was talking to a homeschool student who was talking to one of his friends who's in the public school, and he was shocked at what was going on. I mean, because his parents were controlling his homeschool. They made sure he got good stuff. And
Well, you know, you
we learned a lot.
Yes.
During that time frame.
And one of the things, one of the items that to kind of finish up our list of things is we're getting ready to have a little bit of a problem in that it from the public school system, and that is that I would say the probability of school choice, which mm-hmm. is already partially in effect in North Carolina, will become universally in North Carolina. And that will have the school systems, the public school systems, having to compete for students.
Which is necessary.
That's very necessary.
That's the only way we're going to fix what we got.
Well, you know, I think that this has been a good eye-opener for us. And with our education, you can tell that we have a lot to talk about.
Well, it's a key issue. I was at a meeting a couple of weekends ago of a group of Craven County citizens, and when it came time to ask the legislator questions, 90% of those questions were on education. I want to say one thing before we leave.
Okay, as we wrap up the show.
As we wrap up the show, I'm asking everyone to remember that May 16th is our Back the Blue Banquet. For ticket information, rwg51718@yahoo.com. Just send an email saying you want tickets. I will deliver them to you personally. We'd love to have you there. It's May 16th, 6 p.m. at Copper Ridge on the Neuse, and it's $40 a ticket, and we will be honoring and recognizing our law enforcement people in the county.
Back the blue.
Well, thank you, folks, for joining us. And again, we ask you to spread the word that we're on the air on 107.1 Saturday morning, 6 o'clock, Sunday at 11 a.m., and Sunday again at 8 p.m., and also available on the cctaxpayers.com website. You have a wonderful week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.